Good morning, church family. It's always good to kind of start out with a little bit of a laugh and a smile, but it is something exciting that we're looking forward to, that tonight is that day we've been talking and talking and talking about, it seems like, that we finally get to get back to our Bible classes. Is going to be a different kind of idea with how we're doing it, being Sundays at 5 p.m., but as you saw, there's three different classes that we'll have going on. That first one being our family Bible class. That's for all of our children's ministry and parents. That'll meet over in the family center. We're going to continue on our parable of parades that we had started way back before all this COVID stuff started going on. We're also going to have a youth group class for 7th through 12th grade. That's going to meet in room 109, so down this hallway right next to the Green Street entrance. We're also going to be focusing on the parables. We're going to do it a little bit different, though, than what the family class is going to do. We're going to do a parable point of view. And then finally, we'll have the adult class that will be meeting in here. We're going to get to wrap up some things coming from the book of Acts that we didn't get to finish. And then actually in the next few weeks or a month or so, something like that, we'll be getting to move into 1 Peter in our study for that adult class. So if you have questions about any of that, please come and see me. We'll make sure you get clued into where you need to be. But 5 o'clock tonight is when we get to start with those classes. I also want to remind you guys that next week, between our services, from 10:30 to 10:40, we'll have a prayer time available in room 109. That is going to be geared towards our youth group and our families, and so children's ministry too. If you guys want to come down there, Nicole and I will be in there, and we're just going to talk about some things that may be on the docket that are coming up, and then also just to spend some time praying with you guys. As always, if you haven't been checking out all the websites that our church has going on, the GrahamStreetChurch.com, the Texans for Christ youth group web pages, and of course our church Facebook page, lots of information that gets put out there. Also, if you have not been receiving bulletins by email and you need those, you can go onto the website to find those, but make sure you give the office a call, and that way we can get you set up so that you're receiving those emails that do have the bulletin. This morning, we kind of have our lineup set up, but we may possibly be changing a couple of things with what we're doing this morning. We're running a little bit low on our communion supplies, so we're getting things kind of vamped back up for this morning. So if you did not grab your supplies on your way in this morning, we will have a few left that we can hand out and stuff like that. But I'm not even exactly sure where communion's going to end up in this morning with things. I was supposed to have some of the thoughts to kind of help us lead into that, and I'll go ahead and share this verse from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So this morning, when we do get to have that opportunity of community that we take in communion, please remember that that is a reminder of this glorious salvation that we have that only comes through Christ Jesus. We have a great morning to worship together, so let's pray together, and then we'll begin to sing out in joyous noise. Let's pray. Father, what a great and beautiful day that you've given to us already. Father, and what a blessing it is to be here together. We thank you for the ways that you look over us, that you look after us, the ways that you care for us, and the ways that you love us. Father, we are not deserving of your grace and mercy, but Father, we are so joyful that you have chosen us, a fallen people. And Father, we ask that the things that we do today, that we can lift up our hearts to you in song. Father, that we can reach out to know you better. Father, we thank you for the joy that we do have in our lives that only comes from you. Help us to recognize that, to see that, and to live by that and through that. Bless us today as we worship you, Lord. This is our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Let's be standing as we sing our first couple of songs. Sing right out. Numbers are few, so the voices have got to be great this morning. To go along with David's sermon series, we as Christians are to choose joy because of all the eternal promises we have through our Lord and Savior. Choose joy. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room.
And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Join to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men employ wild fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plain. Repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and scroll, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow. Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. And he rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the name. The glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. How I love the great Redeemer, who is doing so much for me. With what joy I tell the story of the love that makes men free. Till my earthly life is ended, I will sing songs above. Then beside the crystal sea, more and more praising Jesus and his love. He is everything to me, to me. He is everything to me, and everything shall always be. I will never cease to raise a song of gladness. Here and in the world above, my soul shall sing a saving love, life and light, and joy is he, the precious friend who died for me. And he has purchased my redemption, rolled my burden of sin away, and is walking on beside me, growing dearer day. That is why I sing his praises. That is why joy is mine. On the everlasting shore, I of love divine. He is everything to me, to me. He is everything to me, and everything shall always be. I will never cease to raise a song of gladness in here and in the world above. My soul shall sing a saving love, life and light, and joy is he, the precious friend who died for me. And glory be to him forever. Endless praises to Christ the Lamb. He has filled my life with sunshine. He has made me. Oh, that everyone would know him. Oh, that all would adore. Oh, that all would trust the Lamb and be his forevermore. He is everything to me, to me. He is everything to me, and everything shall always be. I will never cease to raise a song of gladness in his breath. Here and in the world above, my soul shall sing of saving love. Life and love and joy is he, the precious friend who died for me.
Please be seated. We have heard the joyful sound that Jesus saves. This will be the song before communion.
We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward is our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom, when the heart for mercy craves. Sing in triumph o'er the tomb, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
They'll be coming forward. If anybody did not get communion supplies, if you'll just look in the aisles, or maybe raise your hand. We'll give him just a minute to this, some more down here. We meet on the first day of the week because it was on the first day of the week that Jesus rose from the grave, that God, by his power, raised his son. Before his death, Jesus met with his 12, commanded them to remember his death, his sacrifice, and to do this as a memorial to him. And so this morning, even though we're kind of separated by rows and having to sit 6 feet apart, we gather together as one, along with brothers and sisters throughout this planet, and we break this bread and we drink this cup because we believe and we have based our life, we have based our hope, and we have based our eternal destiny on the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that he died for our sins, that he rose from the dead, and he now sits enthroned at the right hand of the Father. And we anxiously wait for his return, but in the meantime, we serve him, and we are privileged, we are blessed to be a part of his kingdom. So this morning, as we get ready to negotiate this little device, the first thing we'll do is to break the bread together, but first, let's pray. Our merciful God and Father, we are so thankful that you sent your son, that Jesus was willing to come here. He was willing to empty himself, that he lived among us, that he showed us even more of your glory and of your love and your mercy for us, and that he was willing to go so far as to die for us. And we break this bread this morning in honor and in memorial of him. We do it bound together as one body of believers. We're so thankful, God, for your love and your continued mercy for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, send from the heart of God. Hold us the heart of God.
We know from experience as well from the Word of God that life is in the blood. We know that our physical life is bound up in our blood. But it is only in the Word of God that we find that our spiritual life is in the blood. And it's in the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed for us. We drink this cup, we share this cup this morning in remembrance of the blood that he shed, of the sacrifice that he made, and for the ability that we have to be forgiven of our sins, to be restored to our Creator, to live with him in this life, and to live with him forever in the life to come. So if you would pray with me at this time, as we get ready to share the cup. Again, our merciful Father, we're so thankful for the plan that you had, that Jesus was willing to carry out that plan, for the sacrifice that he made for us. God, it is our privilege every first day of the week to meet, to worship you, and to remember Jesus' sacrifice by sharing the Lord's Supper. As we drink this cup this morning, God, we are so thankful that we not only have physical life, but a spiritual life. And we realize and we acknowledge and we show to each other that it is through the shedding of his blood. And we remember that as we drink this cup. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
There is a place of comfort sweet near to the heart of God, a place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, send from the heart of God. Hold up, wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release near to the heart of God.
a place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sin from the heart of God. Hold us await before thee, near to the heart of God.
Good morning, church. This series of joy is exciting to me. For some reason, it makes me a little nostalgic, and I think back in the past, and I can't help but think about the joy buses. I don't know if any of you ever had the privilege of being able to ride on a joy bus or teach a class on a joy bus, but back years ago in St. Louis, when I first started ministry in St. Louis, we had a huge bus ministry, and we would go around, and we would pick up kids, and we'd bring them to the church building. We'd have more kids from our bus ministry than we had people in attendance in the congregation when we first started. And it was just so exciting to see these kids that came to church that wouldn't have had a chance to come to church otherwise. And then it became even more exciting when their parents began to be interested in what they were seeing their kids doing and how excited they were about church. And I think the joy that they had about going to church made the parents want to investigate it. And as they did, and they began to come to our small groups that we would have in each of our bus routes, they began to be Christians. And they were so excited because they were changing the world that they had been accustomed to. And they were filled with joy. And it was a very joyful time in ministry. And even though I know so many of the families that were connected to the joy bus really did not have joyful circumstances on their jobs, if they had jobs, in their lives, in their relationships with family, I know there were so many problems, but something changed their world through that joy of Christ. And the thing that we kept teaching on the joy bus is joy means Jesus first, others second, yourself last. And the kids, boy, you start that and they would say it with you. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. And it really helped them to understand what the gospel message was about. So I'm excited about Philippians. I'm excited to share with you from this book to talk about joy, because I think we need a good dose of joy right now, don't you? I think it would really be good for us to be able to connect with joy. So if you will, bow with me in prayer and we'll start. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the blessing of the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the love that you had for us, that you were willing to give your Son, that he was able to come into this world and live a life before us and set an example of what God looks like in the flesh. And he was willing to pay that price for us of his love on the cross by dying for us. And we're so grateful for the fact that you raised him from the dead. And you gave us that hope that we have that someday there's going to be another resurrection. And there's going to be miracles performed all over the place when people rise from the dead. And we're so grateful for the hope that we have of a better place, a great place of living with you forever. We're so grateful, and that fills us with joy, and we're excited to study that and to talk about that. But Father, we know in reality there are people who are really suffering right now. There are people living in sorrow and in loss, and people living in anger and anguish. And we pray, Father, for every one of them. We pray, Father, that the joy that we experience in Jesus is something that we can share with them, and that they might have the hope that we have. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And, of course, I think I got up here without my clicker. See, it doesn't matter which side I sit on. I still forget it, okay? All right. So, we're going to start this. I believe we do have a choice to rejoice. A lot of people would say, well, no, you know, I am in the circumstances I'm in. You don't understand what I'm facing. You don't know what I live with, all those things. And they say, I don't have any choice. You know, I'm grumpy for a reason, you know. But I think there is a choice to experience joy in our lives. And that's what I want to share with you from the book of Philippians. Just a few things about Philippians. Philippi was an important city in the Roman Empire. The area of Philippi was made into a Roman colony, and the capital city, of course, of that was the city of Philippi, and it was an important city because it was right on a main roadway of transportation, and it was a main port. It was also a place where people who retired from the military would go to live, and they took positions of guarding the city and taking care of the prisons and so forth in Philippi, and it was part of their job in their retirement. So it became a community that was deeply attached to the Roman world. There were very few Jews who lived in Philippi. And it was kind of a different approach for Paul in trying to reach out to the world, because most of the time when Paul would go into a city, he would start in going to the synagogue. And he would start with dealing with Jews who knew the Old Testament scriptures. And he would, if you want to call it this, he would recruit them into spreading the gospel message about Jesus through the Old Testament prophecies. But there weren't many people there, and there was no synagogue for the Jewish people in the city of Philippi. So his work began in a different way. In this city, you'll remember, he met up with a group of ladies who were studying by the river for prayer. They were there for prayer and to study God's word. And this group of ladies were meeting, and Paul began to study with them and to talk to them about the hope that they had through the scriptures in Jesus Christ. And Lydia and her friends became Christians. I think that's interesting when you think about the church starting that way, because in the book of Philippians, you have this story of two ladies who are in disagreement with one another. I think Paul already knew how valuable the ladies were of the church in Philippi, because that's really the way the church started. And he really urged the church to help these ladies to overcome the conflict they had. Another interesting thing about the start of the church at Philippi, it started with Paul getting in trouble, Paul and Silas getting in trouble and being thrown in jail there in Philippi. And you remember that one of the... That was quite a shot. You're not going to find it there. It's all the way up here. Down here. It went all the way over here. James? James's not listening to me. It's all the way up here. James, it's all the way up here. It's not down there. Okay, so he started his ministry and he was in jail. Now, in writing the book of Philippians, he is writing from a Roman prison. Actually, he's in house arrest in Rome when he writes this, but he's under guard, and he's sharing the gospel message as he's under house arrest, as he's imprisoned. And so there's a connection there between the beginning of the church and when he's writing, but there's 10 years difference. When he first went on the second missionary journey to Philippi, it was in 51. Now it's in 61, 62, along in that time when he's writing back to the church. And the primary reason is to thank them for the gifts that they have been sending for his support. But he also is taking opportunity to share with them the joy that even though he's imprisoned, the joy he has in Christ, and encouraging them to have that joy. And we certainly need those lessons. So let's look at some of the things that you'll find in the book of Philippians. There's some interesting hints in the book as you just look at an overview about what the theme is. To begin with the word joy and gladness, these two words are found 19 times in the book of Philippians. It only has four chapters. It only has 141 or so verses in it. So, you know, 19 times is quite a bit. And then we find the word mind, remember, think. The dealing with the cognitive element of our mind is used 16 times in the book, which tells us that these two things combined together are important. Having a mind of joy. Where does that mind of joy come from? Well, it comes from Christ. Christ is referred to over 70 times in the book of Philippians. It is some way or another, Christ is referred to every verse and a half in the book of Philippians. So basically, if you put that together, the idea is that joy comes through having the mind of Christ. And that's what we want to study when we study the book of Philippians together. I referred to this a little bit last week in a different way, but let me hit on it again. Each chapter tells about a different thing that robs us of our joy. Circumstances are found in chapter 1. But Paul says, no matter my circumstances, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Live or die, I'm going to lift up Jesus. And I think that is so important. Living life with a mission gives you joy. If you don't feel like you have a purpose, if you don't have a mission, then there's something missing in your life. And that sense that something is missing robs you of your joy. Paul is saying you shouldn't have to live your life without purpose and mission, because regardless of what happens, regardless of the circumstances, you still have the same mission, and that is to lift up Jesus Christ. Now, no matter whether you're poor, whether you have suffering loss, whether you're with illness, whatever it may be, whatever the circumstances, we still have the same mission, and that's to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, people sometimes are thieves of our joy. People can cause us problems in our life, and we deal with them in such a way that we lose our joy in dealing with them. And we need to understand that Paul says the best way, now this may be hard for us to figure out how to do it, but the best way to deal with people in that circumstance is to serve their needs, to put your needs second to theirs. And we may say, well, man, you don't understand. This person is really hard to deal with. Well, Paul says, well, put them first. That's how you deal with it. Be like Christ, who gave up being with God and came to this earth and lived on this earth as a human being. And he suffered the things he did as a suffering as a human being and died on the cross as a human being. He went through what we're going through. If Jesus can do it, you need to do it too. And so joy comes from serving people, even those people who cause us to think that we're losing our joy. And things, possessions, objects of value to us can rob us of our joy. You see, if you possess something and you value it and you lose it, that you feel like your joy is gone. If you want something but you can't get it, that robs you of your joy. If you feel like someone's interfering with you being able to have the things you want, that robs you of your joy. You see, things keep causing us problems that we feel like we can't be happy, we can't be joyful because of it. But Paul said this, all the things that I have valued in my life, I consider them rubbish, garbage, compared to Jesus Christ. Having Jesus Christ gives me joy that the devil cannot take away from me. People can't take away from me. Losing the things I value can't take it away from me. I still have the joy of Christ regardless of the things in my life, because they don't even compare to Jesus. And then fourthly, worry in chapter 4, Paul says, robs you of your joy. Being worried about anything keeps you from being happy, being joyful. And Paul says there's a joy that goes deeper than happiness, a joy that's on the inside that cannot be taken away from you. And if your trust is in the Lord, if you live a life of prayer, of thinking positive, of living with hope, you can be content with whatever you have and whatever your circumstances, and you can experience joy, joy that's going to stay with you for eternity. But you have to position yourself in the right position to make that choice. And so that's what we want to talk about in this series of lessons. So let's go to chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And I want you to look in your Bibles with me, and we're just going to break down just these little phrases in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. That's all we're going to deal with today. And it may seem like, boy, that's just barely a start. But sometimes we ignore these introductions to these books and we miss some valuable things by not paying attention to how the book starts. So let's start with verses 1 and 2. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus,
to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice a couple of things right off the bat that tells you a little bit about his relationship with this congregation. One thing that stands out in this, if you've read all the introductions of Paul's letters, you see that this one is different because he includes the elders and deacons in it. That's unique of all the letters. In Paul's letters, he never begins his introduction including elders and deacons. It's kind of interesting. But I think what it points to is the idea that this church is more mature than most of the churches that he's writing to. This church has been established long enough, and they've been faithful enough, they've been united enough to be able to have this second generation, if you will, of leadership. When Paul went back through the places where they had planted churches, he appointed elders in those places. It doesn't say anything about appointing deacons, but he appointed elders. And you can see that in Acts chapters 13 and 14. But here's a generation of church. After 10 years after he first planted the church, you find that this church has not only elders, but it has deacons. And remember, when you read 1 Timothy chapter 3, that the elders and deacons are married, and their wives are a part of their leadership in the church. So here's a church that has leadership couples, not just first generation leadership couples, but second generation. It's preparing for the next generation. The next elders in that church will be the deacons of the generation right now. And in the future, some of those deacons will become the elders of that church. And they will have deacons who are being mentored by them. And they'll be the leaders of the next generation. A healthy church is able to do that. It doesn't have just leadership for the present. It has leadership for the coming generations. And that tells us something about the church at Philippi. Another thing that stands out to me that's interesting is the way that he connects God and Jesus together. You know, we sometimes struggle a little bit with the Trinity idea, three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, how does it connect together? Notice that here he has that he and Timothy are servants of Christ Jesus. Then he says that they're holy people in Christ Jesus. And then he says, grace and peace that comes from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the connection of all of what's playing in this. You can't have God's saving grace without both the Father and the Son. They have to be connected in doing that. You can't be holy people without being connected to both the Father and the Son. You can't be servants in ministry without the connection between the Father and the Son. Because everything that you're living out, Jesus, in becoming flesh, set the example of how to do it. Being holy is because we know Jesus being holy. We know about holiness through that. We know servanthood through Jesus. God the Father, in sending God in the flesh down to this earth and living as a human being, illustrated all the things that Paul is talking about in this very first chapter. So I want you to look at this. Where is joy's location? It's in Christ. Start back in the very beginning when you became a Christian. Think about your baptism. Remember what Romans chapter 6 verse 3 says. That know you're not. And this is Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 and 27 also. That you were baptized into Christ. Galatians 3:27 says, and you put on Christ. Romans chapter 6 says that you were buried with Christ and raised with Christ. The idea, the whole idea of it is that we are joined in Christ by coming into Christ. Now, if you're like me, that's one of the most joyous days in your life. I mean, you knew when you came up out of the water that things were right with you and God. There was joy in your heart over that. You had acknowledged your faith in Jesus Christ. You had expressed your faith in baptism. And there were people there that you loved. They were witnessing what happened. And there was a time of joy. And part of what Paul is saying is, remember the location of your joy. It's in Christ because you came into him. The joy reception of the gift of joy is welcomed by all, or should be. Everyone has the promise of joy. Everyone can benefit from it. That's why it's called good news. The gospel is good news. The gospel shouldn't be a burden. It shouldn't be heavy on us. It should be uplifting and encouraging and joyous. The gospel is good news, and it's welcomed to all. At least God opens his arms to everyone. But the problem is, not everyone will choose to accept it. And by not accepting the gospel of Jesus Christ, you cheat yourself of the benefit of that joy. Thirdly, joy's demonstration is in a servant's attitude and in saints' action. Notice what it says there, that we are servants of Christ Jesus. And it's God's holy people. God's holy people are God's saints, as some translations have it. We must have a servant's attitude. I am willing to do whatever God asks me to do. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to serve the needs of other people, is the attitude that Paul had. And Paul said there's joy in that. Joy comes from having a servant's attitude. And it comes from living a saint's lifestyle, living the actions of a saint. And we're not talking about people that have been vested with this title. We're talking about you and me being holy, living holy lives before the world. And then joy's foundation is found in grace and peace. Most of Paul's letters include these two words, grace and peace. There have been a lot of studies about grace and peace in other letters, and just general letters that do not have a gospel content. Some people thought at one time, without study, that grace and peace was a special thing that Paul used in his letters that are not found in other letters. But with study of other letters, common letters, there was the find that grace and peace was a common characteristic in letters that were written out in the world. But the change that Paul makes in it is what he means by grace and peace. In the world, grace and peace meant that may things look good in your world. May you have a gracious day. May things go well for you. May you have peace in the empire, that sort of thing. Paul took grace and peace and he turned it up a notch into a completely different level. This is grace that comes from the forgiving mercy of God's love that's only found in Christ Jesus. And because of that forgiving mercy through God's love, we have peace with God. We've been reconciled to God. Our sins have been forgiven. God does not hold them against us at all. We have peace with him. So for Paul, grace and peace is a reminder of where our foundation for joy is. And then joy's source is God through Christ. The source of joy. Where do I go to find joy? Whatever you're choosing to go to find joy, if it's not God through Christ, it's temporary. Some people have joy through their hobbies. Some people have joy through, you know, their gardening or through playing sports or whatever. Some people find their joy in relationships. Some people find joy in what they can learn, and they're constant students. But whatever you're finding your joy in, it's temporary. It will not last forever. But if your joy is found in God through Christ Jesus, it's eternal. And then finally, joy's bond. We're held together as a family of God. There should be joy in the church because we're the family of God. We have a fellowship that will never be destroyed. We take this fellowship, this family, last until forever. You know, one of the problems that we have in our families is sometimes things go wrong and it's like we just can't get it straightened out. Sometimes for some families, Thanksgiving get-togethers are a dreaded thing because somebody's going to be there, or some group of somebody's going to be there that's just going to bring everybody down. You know, Christmas is not a joyful occasion for some families. In fact, some families just completely avoid the holidays of getting together with the family because it's just not joyful. It should be a time of joy, and they don't feel like it's joy at all. We have a family that's built on joy. The family of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church, is a family that should be joyful. And listen, we're getting ready for a real big celebration. We're going to get together in heaven someday. And we better get ready for it. Because the saints from all over the world for all generations are going to be gathered together for a joyous celebration at the throne of God. And that family is going to last forever. And it's going to have joy. And so we get a chance to practice it before we get there. Right now, we get to experience that joy together. And in those moments in our life when things aren't joyful, when it's difficult, when we're going through hard times, when we face loss, when we're dealing with illness, when we're finding that relationships have been broken, one of the beautiful things about the church family is that we're here for each other to help each other get through it. And that's one of the reasons why we have joy in the church, is because this family can get through anything. And the joy that we share together will be shared forever in a place where we're not going to have loss and illness and death and broken relationships. If you don't have that kind of joy in your life, we invite you to find it in Jesus. We promise to do the very best we can to help you. We try as human beings with our mistakes and with our flaws to go to God's Word and try to help you see Jesus. Because that's our goal too. We don't claim that we have it all straightened out, all figured out, that we can do it perfectly. But what we do promise you is that we will do our best as a church family to try to point you in the direction of Jesus. And that we believe in looking at Jesus first, your others second, and yourself last, you'll find joy. If you want to join us in that journey, we would love to have you. We'd love for you to be a part of our family. I'm going to ask you, and you can stay seated, but I want to ask you to sing out as we sing this next song. And if you find your heart touched that where you need help in finding joy, we would love to pray for you together as a family. Rusty.
Sing right out. My heart, my mind, my body, my soul, I give to you. Take control. I give my body a living sacrifice. Lord, take control. Take control.
I want to thank everybody for being here today. It's good to see y'all. Some people back to this week that haven't been in a while. Glad to see y'all. Thank you for coming. I want to appreciate all of our visitors who are here. We've got a few in this service, so appreciate y'all. Come back at a time when you can do that. Some other reminders. I want to you all may not know, we've not sent a message out. Lonnie Yinsky was having surgery this morning in Granbury. I think he's a gallbladder related, so he's out, but he's having surgery. I have not got a report back on that yet. Also, a reminder of the Bible classes tonight at 5 o'clock. So just remember that. And there's one for all ages. So from children down through from sixth grade down for the teens and for the adults. So just remember that at 5 o'clock today. Visitors, please take a pause for a minute. We're going to do a little church business right now. I have an announcement from the elders of the Graham Street Church of Christ. It is with heavy hearts that we announce the resignation of Mike Hughes and Mike Lively as elders of the Graham Street Church of Christ. The Graham Street Church of Christ eldership appreciates the service of Mike Hughes and Mike Lively as elders to this church family, and we will continue to be in prayer for Mike, Lynn Ann, and the Hughes family, as well as Mike, Cindy, and the Lively family going forward. If you have any questions, please contact one of the elders. It's myself, Jim Holt, Hubert Collier, David Copeland, Mike Dacus, or Rusty Rose. Let's go to prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven as it is on earth. Dear Father, we ask for wisdom, we ask for strength to do the work you'd have us to do in this location. Help us to serve the congregation here, help us to serve the community around us. Dear Father, we make a special prayer for Mike and Lynn Ann and their family, for the service they've provided to this church, and we hope for the continued service. We also pray for Mike and Cindy Lively and their family. We also look forward to their continued service in this location. Help us all to look forward to the opportunities that we have to serve you in this community and in this congregation. Dear Father, please bless the surgeons that are assisting Lonnie Yinsky in the surgeries he's having. Help them do the things they need to do to help Lonnie. Please be with all of our shut-ins and all those that we have that are taking chemo or whatever those treatments might be. Be with our extended families and friends. Dear Father, help us as we go through this week to look upwards to you, to have interactions with the people around us and the people that we come in contact with to be a light for you. All these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. We've got another announcement.
Thank you again for joining us this morning. Just remember, as we are heading out, we'll have a song playing. We'll have some ushers that come in and dismiss you guys. So if you could just wait until they get to your row and dismiss you. Have a great morning and a great afternoon. We look forward to hopefully seeing you tonight at 5 p.m. in our classes. Have a great day.
I still have joy, I still have joy, after all the things we've been through, I still have